All right. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you today. Thank you for joining us for worship. My name is Jason. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors here at the church. We're so glad that you're with us. This is such a big week for us. We've been planning. We've been preparing. It's so good to be together. If you have a copy of God's Word, why don't you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke? We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 this morning. A special Christmas message. It's a passage we all love and are very familiar with, I trust. If you like to take notes, we invite you to follow along in our Grove app. Maybe you noticed this morning when you clicked on it, perhaps your Wi-Fi didn't work, and so if you're looking for the Wi-Fi password, it's the Grove, all lowercase letters, and that's our guest network, and so make sure you download that if you haven't. I was thinking this week, my goodness, 2020, can you guys believe it's almost at the end? Wow, what a year, huh? For those of you who are students, for some of our kids, you don't realize what a unique year this has been. It's a year that we're never going to forget, and I am so thankful that it's Christmas time, aren't you? Man, it's finally here. Praise the Lord. And I've been so appreciative each Sunday in December. Pastor Scott has been taking us to God's Word, reminding us for the reason for this season. And Pastor Scott, thank you for your hard work in that. It's blessed my heart so much, and I know you guys have as well. This week I've been praying that that you guys could be encouraged, that we could be reminded, that the Holy Spirit himself would minister to you this morning as I proclaim the authority of God's Word without apology, that you would have a sense that God is meeting with you. And so that's why I've invited each and every one of us to open up God's Word together so that you can see what the Lord says through His Word. And through His Word, my hope and prayers I've already mentioned is that He would comfort you. Maybe give you a little bit of perspective. And so before I pray and before we read through this passage, let me just invite you. Maybe you've come here this morning, and if your year has been maybe like my year, and I trust it has been, maybe there's some things that are distracting you. Maybe you got a lot on your mind. Maybe you got a lengthy to-do list between now and Christmas Eve. And so let me just invite you. Would you guys just kind of lay all of that aside? Could we do that for the next half hour, 40 minutes? Could we do that together? And we're going to be looking at a familiar passage, but you're going to love it. And with all the doom and gloom on the news channel, with the job cuts, with health concerns, with mortgage payments, with rent, it's due again, with the loss of loved ones, maybe the threat of unemployment, or maybe that's your reality. Perhaps it's infertility or kid challenges. Maybe it's a chronic illness or a chronic disease. A nation divided. Many of us are hurting, if not all of us. And there's a lot in our minds. There's a lot on our plate. And so let me just invite you to lay all of that down and allow the Lord to meet with you now. That's my hope. That's my prayer. That's my encouragement to each and every one of us. And so today we're going to be looking at such a great passage, Luke chapter 2. It's the story of Christmas. And regardless of how you feel, maybe you've kind of felt this year, maybe it's crossed your mind a time or two, like is God noticing what's going on right now? Like, does he see what's taking place in our nation? Does he see what's taking place in our lives? Is he aware of all the things that are taking place and going on and happening to me and to my family, to those that I love, to those that I care about? God has not forgotten. Today we're reminded about the amazing God who out of amazing love is pursuing you this Christmas. And he is doing so by sending his son Jesus, and that's why we celebrate him. And so he is with us, loved ones. That's what we're going to see today. And so why don't I pray for us, and then we're going to get to work, okay? Father in heaven, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for the time that each of us have set aside because we want to worship you, we want to celebrate you, Jesus, and we also want to hear from you. God, we confess that we Oh, we need you, Lord. And some of us have the sense that we need you more than others. For some of us, it's very, very prevalent. Maybe health is compromised for us this year. Maybe our security of a job has been compromised. Maybe it's pressure or a trial of some sort or disappointment or Lord, we need you, and we want to hear from you, and so we ask that you would speak to us clearly through your word, and I ask for your help so that I could do a good job communicating your precious truth, that your children could be encouraged, and that all people could meet with you now, we pray in Jesus' good name. Amen? Amen. Amen. The big idea is very simple today, and you're going to see it over and over and over through the text. The big idea is this, celebrate Jesus, all right? Celebrate Jesus, and this morning we're going to see five celebration responses to the good news about Jesus Christ, all right? The first one is this, celebrate Jesus with great joy. You're going to love it. Notice there, verse 8, celebrate Jesus with great joy. You guys ready? You ready? Let's do it. It says there, verse 8, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And so, simple verse, we know that it's nighttime, we know some shepherds are there. Maybe you're wondering, hey Jason, what does a shepherd do in the middle of the night? Well, they do the same thing that we used to do in the middle of the night if we couldn't sleep. Of course, we count sheep, right? So they're counting the sheep. Today we just kind of turn to our iPhones or our smartphones or whatever. Don't do that. It's way better to count sheep. That's what the shepherds are doing, I think. Okay, moving on. Notice the context. Why are they counting sheep, though? And why is it nighttime? What's happening? You can look there in verse 1. Let me just kind of read through this quickly for context and flow. We find out in verse 1, now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census should be taken of all the inhabited earth. And so we find out in verse 3 that everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph, we find out in verse 4, went from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is also called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. Verse 6 tells us, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And so we all know who this is referring to, don't we? It's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so on Christmas Eve, on a night like every other night, Jesus was born. But he wasn't a child like any other child. In fact, 2,000 years ago, the creator of the universe, the eternal God, entered human history as a baby. And so think about it. God, in this passage, puts on humanity. And so we find out the Lord of heaven and earth, the creator of the universe, is now born. Jesus was the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. And right here before our very eyes, he's born. In fact, for the men that have been attending our Equippers study, this fall, we're taking a break now, of course, for the holidays, but we've been studying the last 3 or 4 weeks or so the doctrine of God, and so we've spent a fair amount of time even looking at this particular doctrine and studying the virgin birth of Christ and what theologians call the kenosis, and that's going to be resuming in the new year. And so, men, maybe if you haven't been able to make it recently to that, come join us. It's a fantastic study. Pastor Scott, myself, you're going to love it. Doctrine, it's good for our heart, it's good for our soul. And so now notice here we have shepherds and we have sheep. Back to verse 8. Same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And so, I don't know about you guys, but I read verse 6 and verse 7 and I'm like, wow. And then you read verse 8 and you're just like, huh. And so in verse 6 and verse 7, you have the one who spoke the world into existence. He's humbled himself and was born in a manger. The Son of God is born. It's a boy. All right? That's verse 6 and verse 7. Jesus is here, the great God who created the heavens and the earth. He is with us, Emmanuel, right? That's verse 6, verse 7. Verse 8, we have shepherds and sheep. Like, I would think, like, wouldn't you guys think this? Maybe there would be, like, I don't know, shouldn't there be, like, F-18 fighter jets maybe flying over in formation? Like, how cool would that be, right? Or maybe a fireworks display. Wouldn't a fireworks display be nice? No fireworks display, I guess. We have no trumpet blasts. And so the attention shifts here from the first advent of our Savior, verse 6, verse 7, to now shepherds in the field. And so what do we know about these guys? Not a lot. In the Bible, shepherds are looked at, for the most part, positively. There are many, as you guys know, noteworthy shepherds in Scripture. There's a bunch. In Jesus' day, kind of culturally, they probably, it wasn't like the dream job, and so maybe not esteemed super high. But here they are. And as long as you showed up every day, you were considered a pretty good shepherd. As long as you didn't fall asleep on the job, you're considered a pretty good shepherd. And so didn't take any particular unique talent to be one. And isn't that just how God works? I love the profound blessing that's entrusted to them. Notice here verse 9. And so it's the middle of the night. They're doing what shepherds do. Verse 9, it says, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were, you'd be scared too, so would I, terribly frightened, it says. And so here's one of the many things I love about our God. God is getting ready to announce the best news the world had ever heard. The best news ever! And who does he share it with? He shares it with some lowly shepherds. If you and I were getting ready to announce the best news the world had ever heard, here's what we'd do. We'd hire a PR agent. We'd probably have a social media campaign. We'd probably contact the press. We'd leak it. We'd get some traction on the story so the word would get out. None of that. That's not the way that God works. God chooses the lowly. He chooses the weak things of this world, the insignificant, the despised. He chooses people like us. Do you know that? He chooses people like me and people like you. And as we participate with God in his work, it's obvious because he chose the lowly. And when something good happens, he gets the glory. And so he chooses the shepherds, shares with them the best news ever. Praise the Lord. I love that about our God. It says in verse 9, they saw the angel of the Lord, terribly frightened. Verse 10, and the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I'll bet if we were honest this morning, there are some of you this morning, maybe that's how you feel. You feel a little bit afraid. Maybe it's anxiousness. Maybe it's a little bit of worry. Could it be that you're worried? Fearful? 2020, I don't know. Wasn't the best year ever. How do the next 4 years look? I don't know. Maybe you're in a place of fear this morning. Job insecurity, it's COVID concerns, the threat of lockdowns, hardship. Maybe it's family tension. Maybe it's a health compromise. Maybe it's none of that. Maybe it's your car. Maybe you're just low on gas and it's hard for you because you got to choose gas or groceries, or maybe it's unpaid tolls, or you have some repairs that need to take place on your automobile, or it's mounting health insurance bills. You just can't get out from under them. And so, Jason, I'm feeling a little bit worried. I'm feeling a little bit concerned. I'm feeling a little bit burdened today. And I love this word of assurance, don't you? Do not be afraid, or do not fear. The reminder here for the shepherds is such a great word for us as well, I believe. the God who is ruling and reigning over everything. He is sovereign. He's sovereign. He's in control. God has said this in His Word, "Fear not, for I am with you." In other places, God has said this, "Be not dismayed, be not dismayed, for I am your God." God says this in His Word, "I will help you, I will strengthen you, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." And so, loved ones, if this is where you find yourself today, lean into these promises and allow them to bless your heart. If you're battling fear, if there's a little bit of uncertainty, what did Jesus say about that? In His ministry, He said this, "Do not be anxious about your life." He said this, "Cast all your anxieties on Him because God cares for you." I love what the psalmist says. You guys know this one, Psalm 121. It's one of my favorites. You guys know it? The psalmist says this, "I look up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come from?" You guys know it. And so here's the temptation. You and I kind of live with what our eyes can see right here. And what do I see? I say unpaid medical bills. I see a gas tank on empty. I see a fridge that maybe needs some food. I got to get a job, but I can't seem to find one. That's what I see with my eyes. But what does the psalmist say? What does the psalmist say? He says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord." Amen? Is that where your help comes from this morning? "Who made the heavens and the earth. He will not let your foot be moved, and He who keeps you will not slumber." Praise the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so Jason, specifically though, why is it that the shepherds don't need to be afraid? Well, notice it actually says there, last part of verse 10. So this is the angel now speaking, "For behold, massive warrior angel, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people." And that right there, that's the centerpiece of Christmas. This is the message our world seldom hears, especially in the middle of the American marketing machine of happy holidays. This is the message that gives peace. It's the good news. It's the great joy. You guys ready to hear about some great joy this morning? It's the next verse. You're going to love it. You guys ready? Who's up for some good news of great joy? You guys up for it? Here we go. In fact, it's so good. It's such a great verse. Can we read it together? Can we do that? Verse 11. It's so good. Let's read it together. Verse 11. "For today, in the city of David, there has been born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Amen? Praise God. That's why we celebrate Jesus. That's why we celebrate Christmas. And I guess the perfect follow-up question to that is this. Have you responded to this good news? And do you take delight in this great joy? And is Jesus indeed your Savior? That's the question, right? And for some of you, it's, yeah, absolutely, praise the Lord. Others of you, I don't know, I'm not really sure, I don't think so. And so here's the good news. The good news starts with bad news. The bad news is that you and me, all of us, every single one of us, we're sinners by nature and we're sinners by choice. It's who we are. We were born that way. And we have a problem that we couldn't solve for ourselves. And so what did God do? God stepped into the world, and on Christmas, He was born. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So the good news this morning of great joy is that God loves you. In fact, Jesus was born, yes, that's awesome, praise the Lord, but He would grow up, He would become a man, had an impeccable life and ministry, lived a life without sin, and eventually was crucified. He died for your sin and for my sin. But that's not the end of the story. He would later conquer death for our salvation, to show that He's God, so that you and me could be reconciled to Him through repentance and faith. And that's why we celebrate Christmas, because God is with us. And now here's why this is such a big deal. And I kind of breezed over it. It's such a big deal because the bad news is so bad. Maybe you think 2020 has kind of been the pits, but imagine it gets far worse than that. Imagine if there was only sin and suffering. Imagine if there was only disease and hardship and frustration. Can you imagine that? Imagine if there was only rebellion and hard heart and pride and selfishness and hatred and missing the mark and wandering from the path. Imagine if there was no, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Imagine if there was no, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Imagine a world with no hope and no joy and no love and no peace and no forgiveness. Imagine a world with only sin and no Savior. Can you imagine? That's what would happen if there were no Christmas morning. That's a reality if Jesus didn't come, and that's your reality today if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation. Let's move on to verse 12. And so, Jason, how are the shepherds going to respond to this warrior angel's message? What are they going to say? Are they going to think it's true? Well, they get a sign. Notice there, verse 12. This will be a sign. You want a sign? Here's a sign. This will be a sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. So the sign is two elements. One, wrapped in clothes, and two, lying in a manger. I think every baby's probably wrapped in clothes, but the second sign, totally, it's got to be totally unique to Jesus. You guys know that there's no room in the inn, so Jesus was born in a manger. Some people from the second century, they thought it may be a cave that Jesus was born in. Either way, obviously very unique. And we're going to move on here to verse 13 and 14. And so as we do, it's a huge change of scenery. What was one angel and a handful of shepherds now becomes a handful of shepherds, do you know? And a multitude of angels, maybe thousands of angels. It's incredible, and they're there to worship. Notice there, this is such a rare glimpse, by the way, into heavenly worship here on earth. Such a rare glimpse. And it's right here in verse 13 and verse 14. It's awesome. Here's my second point. Celebrate Jesus with praise. With praise. It's right here, verse 13 and 14. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude, it says, of heavenly hosts praising God. Do you see what they're saying? You see what they're saying? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. You see that? Can you imagine a multitude of angels? How many angels? I don't know. Multitude. Massive number. Maybe 1,000 plus angels. A lot of angels. They're there to worship. They're there to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. The idea in that simple statement is that God extends his peace and salvation to his favored people, those whom he has sovereignly chosen or elects to show favor and to save. That's their song. It's their praise. And we're going to sing this song at the end of today's message. It's a great song. You're going to love it. And we're going to sing this praise right here from verse 14. But before all of that, here's another question. Here's a follow-up question. It's a follow-up question. So let's try to connect this with our life. What is it that you're praising God for this Christmas? What are you giving God glory for this year? What's your unique Christmas song with God as our audience? How are you celebrating Jesus this Christmas? How is it that you're giving him much glory and honor and praise? What is your song? What's coming from your heart? You know, I think we all know what we see here in verse 14. It should be our attitude. Can we all agree? Like, that should be our attitude, right? Right? It should be our attitude. Like, verse 14, man, I'm there sometimes. It should be our attitude. But wow, sometimes it's really hard to live it out, isn't it? thought about it long and hard this week. I put up together a few things here I'll share with you. Here are three things, man. This is probably common in your life. It's common in mine. Three things that could rob you of giving God glory this Christmas, all right? Three things that could rob us of giving God glory this Christmas. Number one, relational stress. Anybody ever experienced this before? Students are now done with school, I imagine. Kids are home for the holidays. That's nice. Sometimes that creates a little bit of... You guys ever notice this? A little bit of relational stress? Students, kids. Or maybe it's mom and dad. Maybe it's marriage difficulties, marriage kind of conflict right now. Maybe it's not getting along with an in-law, or I don't want to see them again. Maybe it's a roommate. You know what it is. Stress with a parent. It's relational stress. Things haven't been going great for a while. How should I respond? Verse 14 is how you respond. Glory to God in the highest. That's how we respond. Worship Him. Celebrate Jesus. This is your chance. This is our opportunity. We, like the angels, have been created for what? For worship. Will you give God glory in the highest this Christmas? That's the question. Here's another one. Work pressure. Work pressure. Maybe it's end of the year stuff. We got to get it done. Maybe it's, I don't even have a job, or maybe I thought I had a really secure place, but now I don't think it's so secure. Oh, and so it's kind of weighing on me. It's weighing on me, and I'm thinking more about that than I am really anything else. It's the first thing that comes to my mind when I wake up, and I just really, when my head hits the pillow at night, it's just that's what I think about. Maybe you thought you were set, and now the debts are piling up. How do I respond? Verse 14 is how you respond. Glory to God in the highest. Worship Him. Celebrate Jesus. This is your chance. These are things that can rob us giving glory to God this Christmas. Here's another one. Personal hardship. And boy, that can take a lot of forms. But perhaps it's a personal hardship. And you want to know how to get a breakthrough? Personal hardship, difficulty, strain, stress. I feel heat in this area. How do I get a breakthrough? You want to know how? Give glory to God. Verse 14. Give glory to God. Worship Him. Celebrate Him. He is worthy. This is our duty. This is our delight. This is our blessing. And here's the challenge. Might our life and our words reflect it? And that's the challenge. Notice the second part here, verse 14. This is so good. So good. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. You see it? Peace. Oh, doesn't that sound right? Peace. Oh, peace. Peace among men with whom He is pleased. Peace. Shalom. Shalom. You guys know what shalom means, don't you? It means peace. 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 Peace is the one thing you can't charge on your credit card. Have you ever tried? Peace is the one thing you can't order from Amazon. Yeah, but I got Amazon Prime. Yeah, you can't get it. It's not for sale. Peace is the one thing that mom and dad can't wrap and put under the tree for you. Do you have peace with God this morning? I think one of the biggest byproducts and blessings of knowing God, it's peace, isn't it? It's peace. It's one of the biggest blessings and byproduct of knowing God. I often say this, key is the key that unlocks the treasure chest of peace. You get that? The key that unlocks the treasure chest of peace is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you want to know peace, it starts with a relationship with the God of all. That's how it works. This week, my heart was so humbled. I was just thankful. Even this morning, thankful. Pastor Scott sharing with us about the baptisms that are going to be taking place on January 17th. Praise the Lord. So many of our students responding in faith during our winter retreat. My heart is just overfilled with thanks. God is so good. He's at work in our church. He's at work in the lives of so many of our young people. Praise the Lord for that. So thankful for God's goodness and His grace. We have so much to be thankful for. And students, let me just say this. One of the biggest blessings of your newfound relationship with Jesus is that you have peace with God in a way that was never possible before. What a tremendous blessing that is. Peace. Peace, verse 15. Let's move on. Here's my third point this morning. Celebrate Jesus by telling others. It's right there. Notice this. Third point, celebrate Jesus by telling others. When the angels had gone away from them to heaven, notice the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight. It means like right away. Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord made known to us. Which is another way of saying, we got to check this out. Notice there, verse 16. So they came in a hurry. Maybe your Bible translation says haste. They came in a hurry, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. So verse 15 tells us they went straight to Bethlehem. Verse 16 tells us they went in a hurry. And I really appreciate that about the shepherds. I wish I were more like that. It's an area I'm trying to change. Maybe you're a little bit like me in that way, where God kind of speaks and you kind of see exactly what He wants of you. Maybe you're sitting there even now this morning and you have His Word. God speaks to us through His Word and you're getting conviction and clarity. Maybe God is speaking to you even right now. Do you know the proper response to Him? It's to go. It's obedience. It's to follow. It's to pursue. It's to do what God has told you to do. But sometimes we hesitate. I do that sometimes. We have to go where? We have to do what? I got a plan. It's really not that convenient at this particular juncture. Got to schedule it, and I'm pretty tight for the next few weeks. That's not what the shepherds do at all. They go. Look at their verse 17. Notice the genuineness of their response. They went straight to Bethlehem. They come in such a hurry. Do you guys see it? And they got to see Jesus. When they had seen this, they made it known. They made known, it says. You guys see that? They made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And so they're like, I just imagine they're kind of coming through the door. And they're like, wow, this is it. And imagine they've been hurrying. And whew, and they're a little bit out of breath maybe. And they made it known. They made it known. They're like, Mary and Joseph, you got to grab a seat because you're not going to believe the night we've had. That's what they do. And they couldn't restrain themselves. The greatest news they'd ever heard in their entire life. They'd never heard news so great as this news. I mean, just think about it. Probably for the rest of their life, they look back on this night until their dying day. This was the best moment of their entire life. How awesome is that? And so what do? When they saw Jesus, they made known. They made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Do we have the same earnestness about sharing, about explaining, about what God has done in our life, about the things that we've seen and heard? Do we have that same excitement, the same enthusiasm, the same earnestness to go, to tell? We were talking this week, pastors were talking this week, and there's this common New Testament theme, you guys know it, but it's come and see and go and tell. And this is kind of what's happening here with the shepherds. They're coming to see and they're going to tell. And that's a common New Testament example for us to follow. You come and see, that happened in Jesus' ministry all the time, but then you always end up going to tell. And in some ways, that's kind of like what we're doing here this morning. We're coming to see, what is God going to say this morning through His Word? And so we're coming to see, and we're coming to worship, and we're coming to lift up high the name of Jesus Christ and worship. And what is God going to say in His Word to the body of Christ? And I want to be there for that. And what's God going to say? And so we come and see. But in a few minutes from now, we're going to leave this place, and we have a responsibility, don't we? Our responsibility then is to also, it's to what? We got a message to share. It's to go and tell. It's to go and tell. Are you going and telling? That's your mission, should you choose to accept it. This Christmas, would we celebrate Jesus by telling others about Him? Notice there, verse 18. Another point here, just a couple more verses, almost done. Fourth point, celebrate Jesus by treasuring Him. My goodness, this may be my favorite part of the entire, like 11 was awesome, loved verse 11. I love verse 13 and verse 14 too. It's tough to pick a favorite, but I love the next couple verses. It is so dear. I have faith to believe that every single one of us need to perk up our ears and pay attention, because this next part is so good. It's so important, so necessary for us. Celebrate Jesus by treasuring Him. It says there in verse 18, and all who heard. Who's the all? Well, Mary and Joseph, for sure. Jesus. Camels, I guess, were there. All who heard it, you guys see it? Wondered. They wondered. They wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, she treasured all these things. She treasured them, all these things, pondering them in her heart. This is the greatest story ever told. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. It says in verse 18 that all who heard it wondered. It comes from a Greek word, thumazo, which means it's like to be in awe. It's a word for like amazement. They just wondered. It's like jaw-dropping. Wow! That's what they were. That's what it was like. Wow! They're marveling at the things told them. And that right there, that's the secret to having a wonderful Christmas. I don't know if you guys know this or not. That's the secret to having a wonderful Christmas. It's to wonder. Yeah, but Jason, I've heard this before. This is super familiar. I could do what you do right now. Yeah, maybe you could. All right? But this is the secret to having a wonderful Christmas. It's wondering at the things that we're told. That's the secret. That's it right there. Our challenge, our struggle, is getting past the ho-ho-ho and the happy holidays and the season's greetings and the Christmas presents. That's our struggle. That's our challenge. Our challenge is getting past Santa Claus and going to the mall, and I can't find a parking spot anywhere. All right? Our challenge is he got 3 presents and I only got 2. That ain't fair. Or they got a bigger box. Why did I get the small box? You guys all know that I love the big box. Why did I get the small box? Right? That's our challenge. Dinner's almost ready. It's getting cold. All right, everybody shape up. Get to the table. We got to eat real quick. That really sucks the joy out of life. Right? That's not the secret to having a wonderful Christmas. The secret to having a wonderful Christmas is wondering. It's savoring. You almost get this sense with Mary, don't you? You guys see it? It's like she's treasuring. You can almost imagine she's like, it's like she's listening and she's hanging on every detail and she's delighting in every piece of the account and cherishing. She's just like, tell it again, and she's just cherishing it. She's loving it. She's treasuring it. That's what she's doing. It's beautiful. She treasured all these things. She's pondering them in her heart. Maybe this year, in the last few days before Christmas, like Mary, you just need some time to treasure. Yeah, but I got Christmas presents to wrap. I don't know. Yeah, That's important too. Maybe you need to take some time aside to marvel and to wonder and to treasure and to cherish and to delight in. Yeah, but I'd have to get up early to do that. That's all right. Maybe it's going to bed a little bit late. You know, for me, this is what I do. I just recommend it to you. We live in a busy world, don't we? And something's always happening. Sometimes I feel like I'm a chihuahua and I just finished drinking a full energy drink, and it's like I just got a lot on my mind. I got to do a lot of things and I got a lot of stuff I got to take care of today. And woo, I got to get after it. And I just wake up and I go, and it's so hard just kind of slow down a little bit. And something that helps me, if you're like me, is getting a pen in my hand and a journal in my lap, and it's slowing my thoughts down and putting them on paper. That's what I do. It's one of the reasons you probably see me on Sundays when Pastor Scott's preaching or Pastor Robert or Pastor Amir. I'm taking notes because I'm busy up here, and it slows things down when you have to put it through a pen. And that allows me to go back on it and then meditate and reflect and to delight in and to cherish the things that were proclaimed, so that by God's grace, I could maybe apply the things that were told. And so that works for me. Almost done. One more verse. You guys see it? Verse 20. Last point. Celebrate Jesus with more and more praise. This is so good. Verse 20. The shepherds went back. It's a final scene. They're climbing up the hill to where the flocks lie. The shepherds went back, you see it there, glorifying, praising God. You know, we found the shepherds this morning. They were awake, not sleeping, and were leaving them glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. This is the biggest night of the shepherd's life. And they return to their flocks by celebrating Jesus. And so with that said, we conclude. Why don't we go ahead and close our Bibles there? You guessed it. In a moment, you're going to have the opportunity to celebrate Jesus in song. And I mentioned not that long ago that we're going to be singing a familiar song that comes out of verse 14. Today the angels praised Jesus by saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." That verse was turned into a song. We know it as, "Angels we have heard on high." There's a familiar part of that song. I wish I could sing it, but I'm lousy at that, but you will sing it here shortly. But it goes, "Gloria, Gloria." You guys know how it goes, "Gloria," right? "In excelsis Deo." That means glory to God in the highest. We're going to sing that. And so why don't you stand to your feet with me? I'm so thankful that you guys were here this morning. I hope you feel encouraged. I hope that your burdens feel a little bit lighter. Father in heaven, as we prepare to sing, we're so thankful. Thank you for being the amazing God that you are, who out of amazing love is pursuing us this Christmas. And you're doing so by sending your son Jesus. And that's why we celebrate him. And so you are worthy of our praise. We give you all glory, honor, and praise, Jesus. You're worthy of it all. We celebrate you this Christmas. In your name we pray. Amen.